Our first scripture reading for this morning comes from the first book of John, chapter 3, verses 16 through 24. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded you. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Here ends this reading.
Our gospel reading today is from the book of John, chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Here ends our gospel.
Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. How wonderful that news that we know that Lord that is there, the good shepherd of our soul. His grace, his mercy, and his peace be with you this day. In Jesus' name, amen. As we gather, the 23rd Psalm is our reflection for the day. And the 23rd Psalm is one that so many know, as I mentioned, from the King James Version. It's one that is quite interesting, where when I worked at a Christian bookstore, the 23rd Psalm was most of what they had up on wall decorations, different trinkets you could buy, and it was all King James. I don't know who bought these, but many of them were expensive. These were intricate, laminated pieces of wood that were giant plaques you could have on your walls. These were carvings that you could have into stone that you might have out in your garden. But it's quite fascinating because this idea of how expensive it was and how much it's ingrained in people, well, it carried over, as I've mentioned, just how many funeral services I had in my first year alone of ministry. Because the 23rd Psalm is ingrained in so many of us that even with people that aren't Christian, they seem to know it. It would be quite fascinating. I would have people gathered as they were trying to go through and work through. What does it mean? What are we trying to do for a service for a loved one? And it was fascinating as they would try and piece together the psalm that they knew that they wanted in the service. They would go, well, I know we want this one. I don't remember what it is. It's about God leading and about still waters. And I'm like, the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. They go, no, 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 it's not that one. And they would continue on with this. And it was, at first it was frustrating for me, but it became this song and dance of, it's like almost they didn't want to admit it was the 23rd Psalm until finally someone would find something online and they'd go, yes, that is the one. Normally it was because we had NIV or ESV or RSV Bibles in front of them and they found it in King James. That was where it then clicked and they went, this one. And they go, I love that psalm. It's so comforting. It's so amazing. But brothers and sisters, the amount of comfort that God gives to us in the 23rd Psalm, while it is amazing and while it is breathtaking, there is so much more depth to it that I don't think we always take and see the breath that is there. Because sadly, I think we often see it on plaques, we see it on walls, we hear it, sadly, only at funerals where we don't take the full depth because of the situations we're in. Because it starts off with David, a king on the run, saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he knows what want is. Just like these families that are knowing what want is, just like people that are going through and saying they know what want is, when you see how many wants are out there in the world, this is not a psalm for people who are at rest and peace. This is a psalm of someone who was on the run, but yet where does he put his hope? He says that even in despair, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That David knows that he has a king who is over all things, a God who is the creator of heaven and earth, that he has made the grass to grow, and he has made it so that he knows that God will provide even the most abundant, most abundance for those that are in need. As he promises, and he looks to in a time where he is on the run going from cave to cave, that there is good news even there. And it's what we confess when we gather and say the creed. It's what we confess when we gather in the word. It's what we confess all the time with offerings, that we know that we have a Lord who will provide for us, that we say he has created all things. And we start off by saying he created them, not in happenstance, not just because, not because he needed, but that he did it for you, that he did it out of love, that he did it out of care, and that we know he provides, that you have a God who loves you. But then notice, as David talks about the psalm that we've reflected, that we said together, that he doesn't just say that he does this because he loves you, that his treatment of you is for his own name's sake. That this is why God does all that he does, that his way of treating you, his care for you, his love for you, is also for God's glory. That is astonishing when you think about that. That David looks and has such faith and trust that we say that out of his fatherly goodness, as those that might have remembered or memorized the small catechism, that he provides your daily bread, that this is his glory, not your glory. That the 23rd Psalm reflects this, confesses this, and that David holds to this in times of lacking. But it doesn't stop there, because we have one who came and said, I am that good shepherd. He came and said, I am the good shepherd and my sheep know me. I am the good shepherd who has come to come not just for the sheep of Israel, but the sheep who do not yet know and are of a different flock. And what did this good shepherd do? He did not just feed 5,000. He did not just feed those with his own words. He went and traveled to the valley of the shadow of death with his rod and staff. He went through and traveled so that they would know that he can lead through that place of death itself, and that his protection, his guidance, his strength was more than efficient, as he showed 3 days later when he traveled through death itself, that he has the strength to protect you and lead you through even death. That you have a God who says, I am that shepherd who can show you and does lead through death itself. That you have a God in Christ Jesus who restores for his name's sake and lifts you up. That you can even say when there is nothing left to give and you are in the valley of life, that he is there and he is strong enough. And that is the good news we confess. when we look and say, Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. That you know the type of God that you have. You know the good shepherd that is there for you. You don't have to say, well, there might be a God up there, or I don't know what to do because life is in turmoil. But it still doesn't end, because David continues that he restores your soul and anoints your head with oil and prepares a feast before your enemies. And reflect on that good news, that you have a Lord who has not just led you and provided for you and brought you out of death itself, but now has lifted you up. As the metaphor shifts from being a sheep to now being placed at a table, that you have a Lord who doesn't just provide for you, but he restores you. As we give thanks to the Holy Spirit who is there to make you holy as he is holy, as we give thanks for the one who calls you to be Christ-like, in the midst of all that you have and do, we have one who we continue to see is one who does what God's name says. He is one who continues to be in you to change who you are in the midst of all of life's chaos. You know where you stand. That he continues to help you see that good news and say that even in the midst of all of your tragedies and woes, he is still there. And that you can confess and show and share that good news of a table that is prepared for you, of the wondrous things that God is doing for you, all for his namesake. That when we trust in him, we are doing it for his glory. That when we hear that call that he has for your life, you're doing it for his glory. That when we speak and praise the good news, it is for his glory. That when we trust even in the shadow of death, it is for his glory. And what is so amazing is that David ends with hearing and promising that goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And even that isn't strong enough. Even that isn't what David is proclaiming. Because following isn't what he says in Hebrew. Following is too weak of a word. Because the word there goes back to the idea of a shepherd who would have seen predators stalking. This is a word of stalking and hunting. That God and his good word, God and his good graces, God and his goodness for you stalks you all the days of his life, of your life. That you have a God who continues to provide for you. And doesn't just say, I will follow after you. He pursues you. He pursues you with what you need. And that he continues to say, goodness is what will win out. So this good news isn't just comforting when you are in times of grief. This good news isn't just something nice to have on a plaque. This good news isn't just something that we get to say, well, isn't that nice? I memorized it from the King James. This is the good news that we live and share as Christians, because you know who your God is. So live that out. Live that out as you go and see that it is for his glory that he does this, and that the way you live is for his glory as well. For you have a God who is there. In Jesus' name, amen.